Avery rubbed his palm against a large hollow still near the bedroom door, and a young boy's face appeared beneath the frost.
Me, he grimaced, remembering the day his aunt had taken the still. My first day of church.
Wiping downward, his mind filled with memories, the suffocating pinch of his white, freshly starched Oxford shirt, the smell of carnauba wax liberally applied to mask the scuffs in his oversized wingtip shoes. Growing up, Avery's clothes were almost always worn-out hand-me-downs from distant cousins that were never quite big enough for his tall, broad-shouldered frame. Just as they should be, his aunt had said, smiling, holding up new pieces of his wardrobe for inspection. A boy isn't a boy that doesn't ruin his clothes. But her painstaking patching and sewing had always ensured Avery looked his best, especially for church. Now don't you look handsome, his aunt had cooed the day she'd taken the frozen still. Then, as she'd done up his little paisley tie, so much like your mother. So much like your father. According to assessments of an inheritance Avery hadn't understood, there had been no pictures of his parents in his aunt's old house, and there were none in her apartment now. Although she'd never once said anything unkind about them, these bittersweet comparisons had been her only praise.
Auntie, you in there?
Avery asked, knocking softly on her bedroom door. Again, there was no answer. He remembered the sound of raised voices behind other closed doors, the angry end of his parents' marriage. His father had left his mother so distraught that she could no longer care for herself, let alone an active 6-year-old boy. He took one last look at the hollow still, argyle socks beneath neatly cuffed tan slacks, an unabashed smile no less sincere for his aunt's prompting. Then he opened her bedroom door. If the living room had felt like a refrigerator, the bedroom was a freezer. Avery's heart dropped into his stomach. But it wasn't until he saw the line of 16 evenly spaced cigarettes, one for each hour of her waking day, untouched on a bedside vanity, that Avery knew for sure. His aunt was dead. He stared at her body, stiff as a board under the layers of crocheted and quilted blankets, as the sweat on the back of his neck froze solid. Then he stepped to the foot of the bed and lowered himself into a threadbare armchair, where he remained, spine set against the cold, for almost an hour, until someone keyed the apartment door.
She's in here,
muttered one of the complex's orderlies as he tramped down the hallway. A young man with a sunken chin and shoulder-length blonde hair peered into the bedroom.
Jesus!
He jumped back, catching sight of Avery.
Who are you? How many days?
Avery asked.
What? How many days has she been lying here?
Listen, unless I know...
I'm her nephew,
Avery growled, his eyes locked on the bed.
How many days?
The orderly swallowed. 3. Then in a nervous torrent... Look, it's been busy, and she didn't have any... I mean, we didn't know she had any relatives in system. The apartment's on automatic. It dropped to freezing the moment she... The orderly trailed off as Avery stared him down.
Take her away,
Avery said flatly. The orderly motioned to his shorter, plumper partner cowering in the hallway behind him. Quickly, the two men positioned their stretcher beside the bed, peeled back the layers of bedding, and gently transferred the body. Records say she was evangelical promessic? The orderly fumbled with the stretcher straps. Is that right? But Avery's gaze had returned to the bed, and he didn't reply. His aunt was so frail that her body left only the barest impression in the foam mattress. She was a small woman, but Avery remembered how tall and strong she'd looked when Zone Social Services had dropped him on her doorstep. A mountain of surrogate maternal love and discipline in his wary 6-year-old eyes. What's your comm address? The thin orderly continued. I'll let you know the name of the processing center. Avery drew his hands out of his pockets and laid them on his lap. The squat orderly noticed Avery's fingers tighten into fists and coughed, a signal to his partner that now would be a good time to leave.
The two men worked the stretcher back and forth until it pointed out of the bedroom, then bumped it noisily down the hallway and out the apartment door. Avery's hands shook. His aunt had been teetering on the edge for some time, but in the recent calm correspondence, she told him not to worry. Hearing that, he'd wanted to take his leave immediately, but his CO had ordered him to lead one more mission.
A whole hell of a lot of good that did anyone, Avery cursed.
While his aunt lay dying, he was strapped to a hornet, circling the Jim Dandy back on tribute. Avery leapt from the chair, stepped quickly to his duffels, and pulled out one of the fifths of gin from the duty-free. He grabbed his navy dress coat and stuffed the glass flask into an interior pocket. A moment later, he was out the apartment door.
"Dog and pony,"
Avery asked the hospitality computer on the way down to the lobby.
"Is it still in business?"
"Open daily until 4 a.m., the computer replied through a small speaker in the elevator's floor selection pad. "Ladies, pay no cover. Shall I call a cab?"
"I'll walk."
Avery twisted the cap off the gin and took a generous swig. Then he added to himself,
"Well, I still can."